Poll after poll shows that the most important issues for voters include jobs, education, and the economy. When someone decides to run for president, their performance as a governor or member of Congress has an extra bright spotlight aimed at them. In order to examine their accomplishments in these and other matters, this is something the organization my next guest is with has done with some of the Republican presidential candidates, including, of course, Chris Christie, regarding fiscal matters. Here to share the findings by the Club for Growth about Chris Christie is their communications director, Doug Sackleben. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
And, of course, the website for Club for Growth is clubforgrowth.org. And looking at the report that's about 8 pages of a white paper on Governor Chris Christie, dated June 30th of this year, obviously, there is some good news and some bad news as far as Chris Christie and all things financial and fiscal. So, I'm a positive type of guy this morning. Let's start with the good stuff. What is it in Chris Christie's track record that's the positive so far?
Well, one of the things that his predecessor had left him was that millionaire's tax, and he fought hard to have that taken out and fought Democrat efforts there in the state legislature to keep the millionaire's tax away. There was also a regional greenhouse gas initiative that New Jersey had been a part of. He was able to get New Jersey out of that, and well-known, of course, his battles with the public teachers, taking on the teachers unions and getting some concessions there to bring down pensions, merit pay, those sorts of things. So in a state that's largely, as you know, Chris, Democrat-controlled, Christie has had some accomplishments to point to.
Now, some would argue, too, that due to his, I guess we could say, extracurricular activities of the Governor's Association now has run for president, that his time spent out of the state, which so far this year, I believe the calculation was he's been out of the state 40% of the time. If he was in the state, would he have been able to be maybe more of a driving force in getting more done and combating the Democratic majority, much like Ronald Reagan did back in the 80s? He would have Tip O'Neill come up to the White House and they'd work things out, or he would actually venture over to Capitol Hill and sit down and say, look, let's get something done here, guys.
Well, I mean, two sides of that. The one side is clearly the Democrats know that this is a guy who has higher aspirations, and so they're going to dig in generally harder. Your Democrat majority leader and others are going to try to make life difficult because they don't want Christie to try to run on a strong record. The flip side of that is you do wonder if the success that he had traveling the country for the Governors Association and getting Republican governors in Illinois and Massachusetts, some other difficult places, getting them elected, if some of that time spent back in the Garden State would have been more effective in getting the New Jersey legislature to be moved more Republican, getting more Republicans elected to the Assembly and the Senate. We don't know, but certainly more time there couldn't have hurt in that direction.
So Doug Sackleben from the Club for Growth about a white paper they published on New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, which you can see not just this one, but all the other ones at clubforgrowth.org. Learn more about fiscal issues and the work of the organization. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. On the negative side, good intentions, bad performance can be applied to the various tax incentives that the Christie administration has given. The boondoggle that's called, had been called Xanadu, now America's Dream Mall or some. I mean, they changed the name, but it's still a money pit over by the Meadowlands. He offered $260 million in tax incentives for, believe it or not, a casino that couldn't make money. Go figure.
And we see this so often when we look at these governors who run, in that they tend to try to go for these tricky tax schemes to lure business in. We saw it in Florida. It was the tech industry that Jeb Bush tried to bring in. And so often these lures seem to have, it's kind of the sugar effect. They taste real good and they're sweet up front. And then long term, that taste goes away and the long term effect is just not there. It gives them a good opportunity to usually cut a ribbon or stand in front of a crowd and say, we're going to do this and accomplish that. And it's so rare that we see these kind of tax credits successful over the long term in bringing business that comes and stays.
You mentioned long term. As far as the continued underfunding of the state pension system, which has caused, I believe the count is 9 credit downgrades for the state under the Christie administration. Again, he's funding it more than his predecessors, granted, but he's not solving the problem looking ahead and long term.
And that remains that lingering cloud. We've talked about the same thing. We're looking in the process at Louisiana's governor, and it's the same sort of thing of where you sort of juggle funds or you try to take on an issue and you only get so far, and then it's kind of like, well, I'll blame the other party for where we're at. But that's going to be a long-term problem hovering over New Jersey, the pension situation. Yeah, again, some ground made and some concessions, but clearly that's, as you said, Chris, it's going to be a hindrance for the state for a long time to come.
Yeah, as far as the state budget, too, and property taxes as well, which I don't think this report really covered, he put in the 2% cap, but it's still property taxes growing. It's not, there hasn't been a reduction of property taxes. New Jersey still ranks as the highest average property tax, so it's approaching nearly $5,000 a year.
And it's the loopholes, and you know this, Chris. I mean, I talk to people who are in New Jersey, and they say the same thing. Yeah, that sounded like a great idea, but when the municipalities can pull all sorts of ideas and objections, health insurance costs and so-called states of emergency and debt payments, whatever seems to count for a escape from the cap, most of these municipalities, I think we saw 45% of municipalities in New Jersey in 2013 still exceeded that 2% cap by getting around it in one way or another. And I understand, again, you're Republican governor, Democrat legislature, so you're going to have to compromise. But if the loopholes ultimately make the cap almost thoroughly ineffective, then really what have you accomplished?
Now, there's no doubt, as we wrap up our time with Doug Sacklaven from the Club for Growth, about a white paper they've published on Governor Chris Christie, who, of course, is running for president, clubforgrowth.org. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. No doubt, obviously, on the Republican side of the primary elections, Obamacare, and it's either fixing or repealing is going to be a topic of debate at the debates on the stump and everywhere else. One little problem Christie has, he's shown support for Obamacare.
Yeah, the Medicaid expansion, when you increase the eligibility for adults. I mean, he said in typical Chris Christie fashion, you know, stood up and the government's not going to tell us what to do. And so I, you know, fought kind of the exchange idea. But when you go for the Medicaid expansion, you again set up a long-term situation where the federal government's contribution to that is going to dwindle and the state's going to be on the hook for more and more people that it's going to have to cover in that Medicaid coverage. And so it's a tough case for him to argue compared to some of the other candidates he's up against who have not accepted that expansion or who have fought Obamacare more strongly.
And I also like to remind people, too, that Christie flat out lied in that lawsuit, obviously, which will be failed in the courts to block Obamacare. And his claim was that the state couldn't afford to join the lawsuit where there was no cost involved. It was just a matter of literally signing onto it. And if the state is in such poor financial shape they couldn't afford a pen for the governor, I would have been more than happy to offer one up for him. I'm a generous type of guy, I think.
You and a few tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of other people probably in New Jersey would have been more than willing to provide that pen, huh?
Exactly. Well, you can learn more about the details of the report and more details above and beyond what we talked about here. And really with the presidential candidates so far that the Club for Growth has issued white papers on, give you insight into one of the main topics of debate and discussion in any political campaign today, all things fiscal, because they are controlled by those who are elected and they affect you who do the voting. So that's where the twain meets in this election day, clubforgrowth.org. Learn more about all these white papers. I'm joined by their communications director, Doug Sacklaven. Doug, thanks for being here this morning.
Chris, thanks so much for having me on.